that, you heard We Came as Romans. We Came as Romans album is called All is Beautiful Because We're Doomed. And the Clipping record, of course, I also don't just have handy. As it's a good time to remind everybody that the playlists and everything are over on smithersradio.com, so you can see what everything is and what album it's from. Because sometimes your boy is not organized and is flying by the seat of his pants. Okay, let's talk about hockey, right? So this, again, CBC, this reporting from Kate Dubinsky, and the story comes out of London, Ontario. Five ex-hockey players, Hockey Canada players are found not guilty of sexual assault and remain ineligible in NHL pending its review. Just a caution here, this article and therefore this conversation will feature references to alleged sexual assault and may affect those who have experienced sexual violence or know someone impacted by it. A little bit of a trigger warning, folks, because this is not a great story. So, five former World Junior Hockey players on Thursday were found not guilty of sexual assault, prompting a wave of reaction, including from the NHL and League Players Association, and a scathing rebuke from defense lawyers about how Hockey Canada handled the accusations. Superior Court Justice Maria Carrocchia spent over 5 hours recounting the evidence before handing down the rulings in court. Only select media were allowed in the main courtroom due to the overwhelming number of people jockeying to get a seat, while others were directed to an overflow room. After providing her reasons for finding Michael McLeod, Carter Hart, Alex Formanton, Dylan Dubay, and Cal Foote not guilty, the judge told the court that the accused were free to go. I emphasize their names because people should know their names. I think that's important. The 8-week trial, which ended with closing submission in mid-June, attracted intense interest from all around the world. Within hours of the rulings, the NHL said the five men will remain ineligible to play in the league pending a review. All five were members of the 2018 World Junior Champion team and have at some point played in the NHL. The allegations made in this case, even if not determined to have been criminal, were very disturbing. We will be reviewing and considering the judge's findings while we conduct the analysis. So, if you're not aware, let's talk about this story. So, what happened here is in... let me see here. Where is it? Okay. So, the former players for Canada's World Hockey Team were accused of assaulting the woman who was known as EM in a hotel room in 2018 in London, Ontario, where they had been attending a Hockey Canada gala. Justice Carrocchia said that she did not find EM's evidence credible or reliable, and so said that the Crown cannot meet its onus on the counts. So, let's just sort of go through what's happened here. The central issue of the trial was whether EM, who was 20 at the time of the incident, had consented to every sexual act in the hotel room that night. Court heard that the woman had met the players at a bar and later went back to the hotel room to have consensual sex with McLeod, one of the players. Other players then entered the room and engaged in further sexual acts with her. Lawyers for the player contended that she asked the men to have sex with her and that they believed she gave consent. EM, however, testified that she was intoxicated and felt fearful of the men, who, while she had initially agreed to have sex with McLeod, she testified that she did not agree to what unfolded afterwards. Only one player, Mr. Hart, testified in his own defense. Some of the players were visibly relieved after hearing that they had been acquitted. And here is the explanation from the justice. She cites irregularities in EM's testimony, including about who had bought drinks that night, and she said that her statement reflects a, quote, uncertain memory that did not line up with the evidence presented at trial. The judge added that there were differences in what the woman told police, investigators, and those for Hockey Canada, which settled for $3.5 million in 2022. Two videos for him that night were shared in trial, where EM was recorded giving her consent to the activities, and the first video was taken without her knowledge. While under Canadian law, the videos did not establish consent, the judge said that they did show EM speaking normally and smiling, and said that she did not appear to be in distress. That undercut the Crown's argument that EM did not leave the room out of fear, she said. So here's something. for all of you sexually active adults or whatever listening to this. Have you ever had to take video of consent? Is that like a normal thing? Because that's the most buck wild thing I think I have ever heard. And it's interesting that these videos were essentially used against her. You know, like, you have what? You have a consent video? Wild. So these five men who were charged with this are completely acquitted. There is nothing. So everything is alleged, obviously. But it is a fantastic example of the absolute joke that our system is and the way that we treat survivors of sexual abuse and sexual violence. So, frankly, you know, you did a bad job, Canada. You did a bad job. Once again, the folks that were involved in this were Michael McLeod, Alex Formanton, Carter Hart, Dylan Dubay, and Carl Foote. They are all hockey players. doesn't do wonders for the stereotypes and attitudes about hockey players, does it? Or the way that we in Canada seem to really kind of coddle them. Oh, I should mention all five, at least in photo, present as white men. So I guess that's also not super surprising. I mean, what can I say other than we've failed this woman? And we probably will continue to fail people exactly like her. So, you know, that's all there is to say. Yeah. Let's listen to some Psycho Frame. That is my kind of nonsense and a nice palate cleanser for...
Yes, that's good.
Cordyceps with I Am Hate. Before that, Psycho Frame with the Inverted Spear of Heaven. I hope that cleansed the old palate. In terms, I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I might talk about the miners who were trapped. Looks like they are safe and have been excavated from their mine. They were trapped in there for more than 60 hours. The arrival was a moment of relief for everybody involved. So obviously, good that they are safe. But they'd been trapped underground since Tuesday morning when two rock falls cut them off. The mine is located on Talta Nation near Dee's Lake. So not that far from where we are now. So, yeah, I mean, this is one of those things where it is the upside is that that everyone is okay. The downside is that this is something that mining is not good. you know, and like you've got to remember, like the, you know, they had all these plans and stuff in place, but they are everybody in terms of from a company's perspective, these people are all expendable. And it's horrible. You know, they're not going to come out and say it, but we're risking people and destroying the planet at the same time. And I think that's pretty rough. And just in looking up this story, I did see here, this is a report from 2023. So eight new mines or mining expansions were coming in, worth $4.9 billion. So we spent $4.9 billion on eight new mines. And, you know, for what? What? I know that people will argue like, oh, it's for the economy. It's for the good of the economy of Canada. Hooray. How good is our economy? How prosperous is everybody in this country? Is everybody in this country right now? Do we have housing for everybody? You know, do we have tent cities in our towns? Because if we're prosperous and have a rich economy, surely we wouldn't have people that don't have housing or food or who are unsafe. Surely we would live in a utopia, right? I guess it's rhetorical. But, you know, the people who benefit from this are it's such a limited number of people at the top of something. And you can say, well, it gives us employment. Oh, it's jobs. They pay us with jobs. They pay you shit. It doesn't matter what you're making. It's not enough, and it's fractional compared to the people on top of you, right? No corporation or company pays out more than it makes, right? And if anything, it pays out significantly less than it makes. So how are you benefiting from that? As the cost of living increases, the amount of money that you are making increasing as well? Are you making more than you were a few years ago? Or is it basically the same, but you take the job because it's pretty good and it probably pays better than, you know, the grocery store or whatever? And the work is not safe, and you put yourselves at risk to make other people fabulously wealthy. It says here, one of the mines that they talk about in 2023, it mentions here that it produces 72,501 ounces of gold per year. So let's just see what the value of that is, shall we? All right, we're going to do a quick live Google. So we've got 74,501 ounces of gold is $341 million. And again, that's like purity, so I assume it's as pure as it can be. How much of that $300 million did you get? Let's say you made $100,000 that year, which is a pretty good wage for most people. 100,000 divided by $340 million. I did that backwards. Whatever. Look, you are putting yourselves and your health and everything on the line for them. They do not care. They can't just leave people here in 2025 when we're all paying attention. But in the documentary, I can't remember which part it's in. It might even be the part today. There's talk of in the early 1900s of a coal mine where a fire started, and in order to protect the deposit that was there, they sealed the mine with everybody inside. So remember that. Know that that you are not the priority. The ore deposit is the priority. And I don't think we should be okay with that. So anyway, it is good to hear that these folks are alive and they have been safely recovered. But I don't think anything justifies the damage that we do. And how little we value the people that do this work. So, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, folks, other than it's bad. And we should probably not have more mines. All right, we're coming up on the first hour. And in the second, you're going to hear part two of No Gods, No Masters, A History of Anarchism. I played part one last week. You can check that out over at smithersradio.com. I hope you'll check it out. It's an excellent documentary. As I mentioned before, I recommend seeking out the DVD. You can get it from the Terrace Library. And if you don't have a library card in your community, go get one. You can order books from all over BC. It's great. But I recommend watching it. There's some really excellent archival footage, pieces of information, and it's just a good documentary. And I hope you're enjoying listening to it as much as I enjoyed watching it. But that's what we're going to do in the second hour of the show. I've got a couple more songs for you. You're going to hear from Cami Kehoe and Carib. And then also you're going to hear who's at the very end. I don't remember. It doesn't matter. It's fine. We'll get to it in the next segment. As always, if you want to be in touch with me here at Syrup Moose Radio, you can do so by email, syrupmooserecords@gmail.com. You can find me on Instagram. I'm the Megafauna on Instagram, or I'm on Blue Sky. It's xadaa.bsky.social. You can find me there. I'm easy to track down, truly. It's probably not a good thing, but I am easy enough to track down. Currently working through a bunch of cassettes and stuff. So just trying to get stuff organized. You can go to themarsh.ca to see all the cool stuff that I do. I say cool. It's a pretty self-congratulatory thing to say, I guess, but that's where I do it all. I haven't been watching a lot of movies lately. I don't know if folks have been watching a lot of movies, but I did recently watch a couple that I'll recommend right now. Why not? Besides No Gods, No Masters, I also checked out Black Bag, which was pretty good, actually. I really enjoyed watching that one. It sort of felt like what if Mr. and Mrs. Smith was, like, proper and British. And I also checked out Dead Male, which was not what I expected and not what I had hoped it was going to be, but it was still very good. And if you like kind of unique horror movies, that might be one to check out. Yeah. And I'm trying to read like 18 books at once. There's not enough time. There's not enough time for me to do all the things that I want to do. And I find that to be disgraceful. So if we could get more time, that would be great. Maybe we could get UBI, Universal Basic Income, and everyone could have more free time to do the things that they would like to do, as well as the things that they have to do. I don't know. That seems like some socialist stuff, which is exactly right. I am an anarchist, but at this point I would settle for socialism. But we're not going to get there, I don't think. Yeah. I would have said, you know, a little while ago that I was an anarcho-communist, and I think that mostly holds, but the more I learn and the farther into the mess that we're in we get, I do feel more just straight anarchist. And we've got to do something. Something has to change, and I do not feel terribly optimistic that it's going to. And that's sort of... That's hard. That's hard to get okay with. And I don't know that we should get okay with it, but I also don't know that we're going to do anything, you know. And even watching, in No Gods, No Masters, they show historically that general strikes work, and we can't seem to get there. A general strike would be huge, and it would make all the difference. Because it reminds the people in power that their power only extends so far. Because if we stop and everyone stops, what are they going to do? If we are not there to generate wealth, then we hold the cards there and we could affect real change if we wanted to. And sometimes I don't know if we want to. I think we get pretty comfortable and it feels like we should just do what we're doing because what we're doing is what we've always been doing. But how's that working out for everybody? Not great. So I don't know. Maybe we do need to revisit a general strike. Maybe that is something that we should do. But it only works if we all do it. It can't just be some of us. We have to all come together on this. And if you are somebody who talks about, you know, reaching across the aisles, this is the way to do it. So, all right, folks, this is Cami Kehoe with Candy, and we will be back.
You taste like candy, but you're out in my teeth. And God forbid I smile. Everyone will see that I'm happy. Is that so hard to believe? I know it's been a while, but you're so sweet to me.
listening to Syrup Moose Radio, a show from 90.